Yeah. You know what?
I like the way you work it.
No dig.
I like the way you work it.
No dig.
I like the way you work it.
No dig.
I like the way you work it.
No dig.
My name's Chloe. I am a speech and language therapist for children. What I do on a daily basis is I work with children who, for whatever reason, can't talk very well, can't communicate very well. That might be because they have a speech sound problem or a language problem or something like autism. The job is so varied that you just don't know what's going to come your way. I pick up files in the morning and I might not have seen that child before. And it's just really fun to try and work out what's wrong with them and how can I help them. When I was at uni, it's really tempting as a student to work all the time, to do a little bit every day, but every day was seeming like it was the same and I was getting really fed up and not enjoying what I was doing. And then I realised that actually having a rest, having one day when I didn't do that, where I didn't feel guilty about working, was so key for me, not only to be better at studying, but also to enjoy myself more. So then when I came to doing my job and with all the pressures and stress that that brings, I brought across that rest day as well. And for me, that's been so important in sometimes just surviving, but also thriving in what I do. There is always pressure on you to not have a rest day. There's always stuff that needs to be done, whether or not that's your job, whether that extra things that you do that just feel like work. For me, the biggest factor in being able to have those rest days has been letting people around me know that I'm meant to be resting, and they can go, hey, Chloe, when was your last day out from all of this? And that's been really important for me. I think it's really interesting that the Bible talks so much about rest, and that for God, rest is something that's really key. I've learnt just from my own life just how important rest is, but then to hear God say, actually rest is great, is amazing, that God knew right from the beginning that as humans we'd need to take time out. The concept of Sabbath, having one day that you treat as your rest day, for me has been so important. Used to think that it was just a day to maybe go to church and that kind of thing, and that's really important to take a day out and celebrate God and to remember what life is really about. But also I've been really reminded recently that God is a God who cares so much about our physical health as well, and for me, I generally use my rest days as a time to eat good food and sleep well, and on my Sabbath I love to meet up with good friends or wear my favourite clothes or eat my favourite foods and just make it a massive celebration day. I think the Christian idea of rest is really interesting and something that can really contribute to people's places of work and work in general. It's such a countercultural way of looking at things. It makes us stop and say, actually, my whole life doesn't revolve around this job. And I think that's something really healthy, but also something really challenging for people to see around us. There is so much pressure to work all the time to get where you want to be, that stopping and saying, you know what, I've done my hours, I'm going to go home now, is a really big decision to make for a lot of people.
Tonight really does have the potential to change your life. I'm not saying that lightly, and I'm not trying to hype anything up. What I'm saying is this: if you put into practice some of the things that we're going to talk about in the next few minutes, it has the potential, the possibility of making an incredible difference in your life. For some of you, this is going to be revolutionary. You're not going to get it first time. It's going to take a little bit of work. You may need to revisit this thing. Watch it again online. Just chew over it, because I'm going to go quite deep and in depth. But the potential that we have is something that changes our lives. Because what we're talking about is work it with balance. We're talking about work life balance. We're talking about how to enjoy rest, how to enjoy work without it overcoming you, overburdening you, and taking a greater chunk of your life than you really have the possibility to give. We've got to be honest. We need to talk about work. How many of you, put your hands up, feel or have experienced stress with pressure at work and work taking over more of your life than you're really willing to give it? How many of you experienced that? Okay, a lot of hands going up. It is endemic in our culture. Let's talk statistics. In the UK, compared with the rest of all of Europe, in the UK, we work longer hours. We work the longest hours of any country in Europe. We take the shortest work lunch breaks out of any country in Europe. And we have the fewest public holidays of any country in Europe. And as a result, it's affecting us, it's impacting us, it's having a negative consequence for us. This is not making us a nation of super achievers. This is making us a nation who are getting more and more burdened, more and more hurt by the conditions of work. So, recent survey found that more than 3 out of 10 workers in the UK felt unhappy with the amount of hours that they work. More than 4 in 10 workers said that they were neglecting areas of their life because of the place of work taking more and more control over them. And more than 6 out of 10 workers said that they were experiencing a negative impact due to the number of hours that they work, a negative impact on their well-being, on their physical health, on their social and mental health, on their relationships, on their ability to do personal development, and on their home lives. The fact of the matter is that work, for many of us, is just not working. And we can talk here and have a theology of work and how God is behind us and he wants us to work. And it's true. God wants us to make a contribution. God wants us to be useful, to be valuable, no matter what strata of society we work at. But work for so many people is messing us up. And we know that there's a direct correlation between the number of hours that someone works and their sense of general unhappiness. Psychiatrists have figured out and discovered that the more hours that you work, the more hours outside of work that you worry about work. And long hours of work are associated with greater stress, less physical and mental well-being, and broken relationships. And so for many of us, work has got to a place where it is just taking over, and the concept of rest, the concept of joy, the concept of peace is an alien one. And what I want to tell you tonight, and if you're not a Christian, then I really want you to listen to this, because this is absolutely bang on for you. You may not have faith, but you need to take this on board, because this is one of the greatest contributions that faith can make to your life. Because the Bible talks about rest, not just as a physical ceasing of labor, but as a kind of spiritual element. This says there's a spiritual part to our work and our life and our balance. That it's not just a case of doing less hours. There's something more profound going on. And there's something about work and there's something about the modern age that actually hurts our souls. It hurts our psyche. It hurts us on a kind of fundamental, deep level. And I want to talk about this concept, and this concept is Sabbath. You heard Chloe talk about this a little, but Sabbath is the Bible's answer to this thing. And if we can get a hold of Sabbath, it will make an absolute incredible difference. So I want to unpack what Sabbath means and look at how it can impact and change your life. Now, Sabbath, it comes up all the time in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. But I just want to refer to you that the time that it comes up, which is the most famous time, when it is part of the Ten Commandments. You know the Ten Commandments, right? Don't kill, don't want what you've not got, don't envy, don't bear false witness against people, love God, put him first, don't chase after things. Well, the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says this, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals. Am I making myself clear? Nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That is by far the longest commandment of all the Ten Commandments. It takes up three verses. The rest of them, they're like, yeah, don't kill, like, duh. But the Sabbath is this one that needs a little bit of unpacking. It needs a little bit of explanation because it does not come naturally. But nonetheless, it is a commandment. It's a law. It's a legal requirement for the people of God in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. When God lays down his will, he says, this is what I want you to do. Now, people, when they look at the Ten Commandments, they'll say, well, the first four commandments are all about our relationship with God. They're about loving God, putting God first, not having idols, not chasing after nonsense. And then the last six commandments are all about how we love our neighbors. You don't kill them for a start. That would be a great beginning. And all these things about we don't want what we don't have and we don't bear false witness against one another. They're for other people. Actually, the fourth commandment, the commandment about Sabbath, you could argue that it is a commandment for our benefit. For I think that all the commandments are for our benefit. But the Sabbath one is completely, totally upfront about this. It says, this is for you. It's a law, legally binding, that's good for you. When I first got together with Kate, my wife, who was leading the service earlier, we had a great relationship with her family, the in-laws. But there were times when it got a little bit fractious. They didn't always approve of the way that we lived our lives. One of the things that they really did not like is that we would have this generous mindset. We would just get money and we just give it away. And we'd see someone in need and they might not be the most stable person on the block, but we would just bless them. One time we sold our car, we gave the money away, gave the money to the church, and they just did not like that. And it drove them around the bend. And what happened is Kate's grandmother, she unexpectedly, out of the blue, she died and she left a will. And in her will, she treated all the children and all the grandchildren the same, except for Kate. And by extension, me. See, this was a woman that had a certain amount of wealth, and she left an inheritance. And every other kid and every other grandkid, you can do what you like. But with Kate, and by extension, me, she put a legally binding contract, a law that she made with lawyers, saying this, you are not allowed to spend the inheritance. Here's the law. You can only have this money in trust. In fact, it will go to your children when you have children. They will be able to do whatever they want with it. But you, in your lifetime, you are only allowed to use this for yourself. You're not allowed to give it away. You're not allowed to spend it. You're not allowed to fritter it away on the church. You have to buy a house with it, and you have to live in that house and enjoy it. And it was like this command. And part of you just rebel. You're like, hey, you, that's not fair. How come everyone else gets to do what they want? They get to make their own decisions. You're treating us like babies, like children. We don't have any say in this. You've made it so that we have to spend this money on ourselves, on a house. I love it. I love it. Didn't tell them that. We were, you know, angry, secretly delighted. Because someone has made something legally binding. It is literally their will that we enjoy and are blessed. And just for your information, we found another sneaky way of giving away a whole ton of money to people in need and to the work of God. When we had this thing, we found a loophole. We gave away all our savings instead. But we had to have this thing. And now I live in a house, which is amazing. And it is a gift given to us for all of our lives. A law was passed so that we would be legally bound to enjoy ourselves, to have something great. That is what the fourth commandment, the commandment of Sabbath, is all about. It's about God saying, this is my will. I make it legally binding. You have to take some time off. There. Do as I say. Don't work too much. Take a day off. I command it. You get this? This is now illegal for you to overwork. Thus saith the Lord. The best, the greatest, the most wonderful commandment. But I want you to notice what he says here later on. He says, remember that you yourselves were slaves in Egypt. Remember that you yourselves were slaves in Egypt. The context for this day off is that for 400 years, God's people, up to this point, when Moses delivered them, up to this point, for 400 years, they had been a nation of slaves, a people entirely given over to slavery. We can barely comprehend that concept, but that was their reality. And slaves don't have any time off. Slaves don't have any work packages, care packages, job advancement opportunities. They just work, 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 whip, work, 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 whip, whip. No time off, no benefit. No development, no joy, no rest, no peace. Just work, just work, just work, just work. They work like slaves. It's almost like they didn't know how to rest. Some of us, some of you, you work like slaves. You don't know how to take time off because inside of you, there's that thing. It's actually endemic to our culture that we work like slaves. Slaves. And even with all the stats that I gave about overwork, we still work like slaves. We work when we're not being paid. In 2015, UK workers gave £31.5 billion worth of unpaid overtime work to their bosses. Unpaid. And today we have 0 hours contracts. We have the gig economy. We have a whole slew of muck jobs where there's just a lot expected of you and there's little security, there's not much advancement, there's not many prospects. They say particularly, I got a lot of this stuff from the TUC website, so excuse me if I go a little bit comrade on you. But they say that public sector workers particularly suffer from this. So if you're a teacher, if you're a health professional, if you work in the community, then you are likely to work more than you get paid for, to be put down and put into a situation where more is expected of you, whether it's implicit or explicit. But then again, you could be a high-flying, high-power business or career person, and yet the hours that are put on you make you little less, little more than a wage slave. And it used to be in the old days that you could say goodbye to your office, you could say goodbye to your boss, you could go home to your wonderful life and your free time. But now, no longer. Now the boss and the office are waiting for you at home the moment that you flip on your phone. Those work emails that you get after work hours that you feel beholden to answer and deal with. And while we're talking about our phones, actually the phone is making a slave of us. Because even if we're not working, something else is demanding our energy, our effort, our attempts to do stuff, to give stuff. Social media is making us a nation of slaves. Social media, we have to answer to these pings and these alerts. And you know, how many of you charge your phone by your bed? And when you wake up, the first thing that you do, you check your status. You check how your likes have been. And when you see those coming up, you just feel so good. Why? Because you work for that thing. It owns you. You're a slave to that which controls you. And so God says, you know, there is something very wicked and very wrong and very hard that can happen to people anywhere, everywhere. And that is, you who are supposed to be free can become slaves. And the slavery can become part of who you are. It can be seeping into your heart. And therefore, I give you Sabbath. Because you used to be slaves and you no longer are slaves. And so I'm going to make it a standard law, a practice where I make you do this. You have to take a day out, a special day, a Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now, some of you will be saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Sabbath, seriously? You're going down this route? Is this really? I mean, Sabbath? For some of you, when you think about Sabbath, you think about all those kind of Orthodox Jews in New York, and they have to get into a lift, and they're not allowed to press the button to say which floor they're on, and so they program the lifts to open at every single floor. Otherwise, all these Orthodox Jews just get trapped in lifts all Sabbath long. And you're thinking, well, didn't Jesus come and stop all that stuff? Didn't he just like break the Sabbath? Didn't he free us up from the Sabbath? And the Sabbath, come on, technically it's Friday night to Sunday night, and we don't do that. And, you know, we got Sunday, but we don't keep Sunday special anymore. But the Sabbath, we don't do the Sabbath. That's like the commandment that's genuinely okay to not keep. Didn't Jesus cancel all that stuff out? And I say to you, whoa, hang on, no, easy. Let's look at what Jesus said. This is Mark chapter 2 when Jesus is confronted by people about the Sabbath. He says this, "The Sabbath was made for man. Say that with me. The Sabbath was made for man. One more time. The Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus says this. He says, Sabbath, it's for you. It's a good thing. I'm not going to abolish something that was given to you. You were given the Sabbath. It was made for you. And I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. It's my day. It's my party, and I'll heal if I want to. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. It's my gig. I'm part of the whole setup. I'm the one giving it to you. I'm the one in charge of it. And it is for you. Why would I want to take that away from you? No way. Because it is a fundamental principle of how God has set up creation. The first time that we see Sabbath is at the very, very beginning when God is creating the world. And the Bible gives us this kind of word picture, this poem, this kind of creation story, however you want to interpret that. But it talks about 6 days of creation, 6 eras or 6 epochs or just 6 ways of understanding, but basically a period of time when God is creating the world and fashioning the cosmos into existence. And then it says, after 6 days, God took a step back and God looked at what he had made and he said these 2 words, it is very good. I mean, it is awesome. And then the Bible just records this amazing thing. On the 7th day, God rested. God put his hands behind his head, kicked up, laid down on his hammock, and just said, this is very, very good. And I'm just going to take some time to enjoy it. God doesn't need to rest. It's not like he's going, oh, whew, man, that universe killed me. Man alive, I'm not going to do that again in a hurry. No, it's like God has all power. And yet God puts into motion, into the very fabric of time and space, a rhythm of work and a rhythm of rest. A rhythm of work and a rhythm of rest, where you enjoy the very good creation that God has made. God says, from now on, through all of time, I want you to have one day, a regular rhythm, when you join me in my party. And together we kick back and we relax and we enjoy what is very good and we rest and we're recreated and we find joy once again in our existence. I'll tell you what the world's pattern is like. This is how the world does work. It goes something like this. Work, 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 work. Holiday! Yay! Then work, 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 work. Holiday! That's how it was supposed to work. You work, and then you work, and then you work, and then you work. And even on the evenings, you're still doing the emails. And even on the weekends, well, you may not be at the office, but you're doing some other kind of work, some other stuff that drains the soul back down. And you just go from one thing to the next to the next. And it's not good for our mental health. And that is no surprise to find that now stress, anxiety, and depression are the biggest single cause. Together, they're the biggest cause of workplace absenteeism. They are killing us. We're stressed out. We're not happy. It's work, 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 work. And then we have these holidays, and we try and get as much as we can out of the holiday because we know that nothing else is coming for another 6 months. And so everything, you know, all the pressure. And then you come back after the holiday, and you're caught in a jumping jam on the motorway and say, like, oh no, all my rest is eking out of my body. I'm going to go back to work just as tired as I was. I'm tired from my holiday. Now, the Bible gives you a whole different mentality, a different mindset. It says this, rest, work, rest, work, rest, work, rest, work, rest. So that there's a constant, regular rhythm of rest. I'm never allowed to get over the edge. I'm never allowed to get over the limit because it is illegal for me to work too hard. I mean, rules is rules. I got to stop. I'm really sorry. I'd love to help, but I am having a Sabbath. And so the concept of Sabbath is not just that we are resting from work, which is what most people think about their day off, but it is the fact that we are working from rest. Everyone say, working from rest. In other words, when you do your work, you're working from a place of deep soul rest. And that when your work time starts, you're coming into it, being replenished, being filled up, feeling a connection with your Maker, celebrating life, enjoying the very good. That's what Sabbath is. It's something which is not just taking some time out and changing gears. It's something which, well, the Bible says it's a holy day. Hooray, hooray, it's a holy, holy day. So instead of having a holiday, you have what the word originally means, holy day. Think about it. A holy day before God. A day which is separate. A day which is set apart. A day which is special. A day which is very good. And if you can get the practice of Sabbath into your life, it will change everything. Trust me. And what I want to do is I'm going to give you the four characteristics of what Sabbath looks like. Then we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to begin to build these rhythms into your life. And tell me if you don't see the difference. So I want you to imagine that you're an empty cup, you're an empty glass, and Sabbath is going to fill you up. The first thing that you need to fill you up is to stop. So the first thing that Sabbath does, it's a hard stop. I stop doing work. I down tools. Now, for me, that means I don't reply to my emails. FYI, my Sabbath day is Wednesday. The weekend is a nightmare for me because I am working every hour that God sends to do all this stuff that we do. But Wednesday is my day. I stop all work. You need to stop what is work, and you need to stop what feels like work. So it's not necessary, right, stop your work, now build a shed. No, it's stop your work and stop everything that stresses you, that drains you, that takes stuff out of you. Even if it feels counterintuitive, even if it feels like you can't afford this. I learned this like Chloe learned it. At university. I remember being at university and being with a bunch of friends, and we were all followers of Jesus together, and we were tight. A bunch of engineers, a bunch of medics. We had fairly hefty workloads and fairly hefty sort of schedules. But I remember come exam time, we all said, listen, we do not work on Sundays. Sundays for us was the Sabbath day. We all agreed on it. And I was in hall with a bunch of people, and I can remember particularly fond memories of Sabbath. In fact, most of my memories of Sabbath, they're just wonderful memories all through my life. But I remember being in Sabbath in hall, and we did this thing. We stopped work. Everyone's like, you should be revising. You've got an exam tomorrow. Sure, but I'm stopping because I work from a place of rest. And I trust God to work it all out. And what we did was we took our armchairs out of our rooms. We put them on the grass. We had deck chairs. We used to eat ice creams. In fact, we had this one particular ice cream we always ate. It was a feast. You know, the feast with kind of the chocolate core. And we called ourselves the Feasty Boys. And we would have these ice creams. We let some girls join eventually, but it started off the Feasty Boys. You know, it was so adorkable. But we had these kind of feasts, and we would play frisbee with one another. And sometimes people would opt out of the frisbee. They'd just be reading a book, or they'd have a Walkman on. Whoa. Got a whole album on this baby. And, you know, we just stopped. And I can remember harried, haggard, red-eyed fellow students walking past us like, are you guys crazy? No. Actually, no. We are just stopping. It's the law. We follow Jesus, and he's given this for us. There's nothing that we can do. God has told us. He's commanded us. We have to take time off. So, to you. And it was just incredible. And actually, without wanting to brag, every single one of the Feasty Boys ended up with first-class honors degrees. I'm not saying that's a boast. I'm just saying that we didn't suffer adverse effects. So you stop. You stop with the emails. But let me tell you, here's a great pro tip. Stop with the social media. No, I'm melting. No, don't take my phone. Listen, you can do it. It might take a little while, but honestly, your soul will feel better for it. If you took off a day from social media, I know you're not going to be able to do this. I know that this won't come first time. But I also know if you practice, it will come. For me, I have obsessive, and Matt kind of spookily alluded to how I'm keyed up about video views and how the site is doing and how our Facebook page is doing and have we got more likes and have we got more likes than the other church down the road. And I'm obsessively, you know, the first thing that I do, phone, come on, God, yes. Or, you know, I'm working, I'm a slave, but on my Sabbath, I don't touch my phone. I don't go onto Facebook. I don't go onto any of the other stuff with the relevant hashtags. I just don't go there. In fact, you know what? On my Sabbath day, Wednesday, I don't even like driving places. I love to drive, but somehow it feels like work. So I just quit. I don't reply. You email me. Listen, I'm really, really sorry. I won't even see your email. It's not that I'm going to see it and just choose not to reply. I'm unaware. I'm blissfully ignorant. I don't know about your text. If you're my wife or my child or my mother, you're in. But everyone else, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm just not available to you. I'm stopping. Stopping is such a good thing to do. Otherwise, every day is like every other day. There's no change. There's no let-up. There's no respite. It's just the grind. It's just the continual rat race, the plodding forward of mental anguish in the modern age. But Sabbath, I stop. And then I rest. I do things that I like to do. Actually, if I want to build a shed, I'll build a shed because I quite enjoy building a shed. That might give me joy. That can give me energy. If something doesn't deplete, you know, my wife, she likes to, on her Sabbath, she likes to have a little putter in the garden. I like to let her. It's okay. It's okay to do stuff that is, you know, it's not like I can't press the light switch. I do things that give me life. So, on my Sabbath, I read. In fact, I've read more books on Wednesdays than any other day in my life combined together. I go for walks. You might want to do a cycle ride. You might want to go to the gym. You might want to watch a box set. You might want to do all kinds of different things. Sabbath this week, Kate and I, we share a Sabbath day together. And we went out, and Kate did a little bit of research the day before. She went and spoke to some people at school. She said, what's a great thing to do? And this great teacher said, you can go to this medieval village in Wiltshire. It's really cool. And so we had to go to this medieval village in Wiltshire. And it's just full of old people. Now, I don't want to be down on old people. I mean, I'm kind of almost halfway there. But these were really old. I mean, it's a nice place, but average age, deceased. It was just, you know, these people are wandering around. It's like Day of the Living Dead with ice creams. They're just, they're going around and guidebook. And I was not into it. I was not finding any kind of joy. And then Kate said, hey, look, there's a gate. Wonder what's through that gate. And so I said, yeah, let's go. And we escape the zombie horde, push open the gate. And then suddenly I'm into this open space. Sure, there was an abbey in the corner, but I'm like tuning that out. Abbey didn't do it for me. But the trees and the grass and the kind of little gambling sheep and, you know, blackjack. And the stream and the brook and the sun streaming down. And suddenly I feel, oh, I'm resting. In fact, literally, this is true. I'm not proud of it. I did it, literally. I twirled my arms around like Julie Andrews on the mountain. I just felt like, oh, this is so great. It is very good. And on the Sabbath, you do things that make you rest, even if that thing is just rest. Have a lie-in or have an early night. Take a nap. Have a siesta. Just stay in bed. Sometimes, Kate and I, we just stay in bed all day, and the rest is none of your business. But the Sabbath is a time to rest, to recreate, to enjoy, to experience all that God gives that is good. So I stop, and I rest, and then I celebrate. And this one is really good. Settle down at the back. Celebrate. More than just the ordinary things. I celebrate that God has given us a universe. And I know that there's problems. And I know that you've got stuff on your plate. I know that there's issues that are bugging you. And I know that there's stress that you've got. And you've got a ton of reasons. You could come up here and you could tell me all the things that are bad and difficult and a struggle in your life. I get that. But Sabbath says, why don't you Celebrate with me. God says, let's celebrate together. Let's enjoy. I love what Chloe said about wearing her favorite clothes and eating her favorite food. And for me, Sabbath is a day that I celebrate. I have watched more films at the cinema on a Sabbath than any other day combined, by a margin. In fact, what I do is at the beginning of the year when they're giving out the vouchers, you can prepay vouchers and they do a 25% off. I buy like four of them and I just save them up for, yay, Sabbath, give them my voucher. I've already paid for it. It's free. I'm just having the best day ever. I'm celebrating. I bought a voucher for restaurants. And when it comes to the Sabbath, yay, we can go out 2 for 1. Come on. And I celebrate with those that are close to me. I'll take my daughters out for brunch. I'll take my wife out to have a wonderful time in a medieval village. I'll do the things that I feel celebrating and celebratory. And I'll sometimes draw other people in on that because we want to be with one another and we want to say, this is great. We love one another. We've got friendship together. We've got a wonderful world. We can enjoy it. And I tune out all the noise. I rest to a point and then I celebrate and enjoy what I've got. I'll tell you how important this is to me and how important this is to Kate, because we've learned the hard way. I know what it is to be burnt out. And I know what it is to be down and depressed and miserable and not enjoying work and not enjoying life. And I know how life-giving the Sabbath, that day, that holy day is. So Kate, like I said, I have to take a day off in the week because the weekend is a nightmare. But Wednesdays work for me, and so Kate takes a Wednesday off too. In order to do that, she had to lose one of her days at work. So when she got into her new job, for the first year, she worked 5 days a week, and then she worked the remaining 2 days a week for Metro. That woman works harder than anybody I've ever seen in my life. She is indefatigable. But she was working 5 days at work and then 2 days for Metro and all the evenings going to Metro and mentoring and meeting up with people. And then after we got our sort of feet under the table with that job, she said, I want to go down to 4 days a week. Why? Because I want a Sabbath. And so she took a pay cut of several thousand pounds in order that she could have Sabbath. Why? Because it is life-changing and it is life-giving. And then finally, you connect. And this is what makes it so powerful. It's not just about doing a bunch of things and having great takeaways and ice cream and all that stuff. It's about connecting with God. Connecting with God. The act of Sabbath is an act of trust. It says, hey, listen, I've got all these deadlines. I've got all this pressure on me with all these projects, or I've got this exam or this thing that I've got to shape up for. But you know what? I am going to trust God. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to do what he told me because Daddy knows best. And I'm going to connect with God. And God, I say, I trust you. I believe in you. You can do great things for me, great things in me. And I want to just be conscious of you and I want to invite you in because you made this day so that we could enjoy it together. And my soul is made complete in Jesus and I'm filled up and my cup is full to overflowing because now I know that I'm connecting with God. And on my Sabbath, the way I do it is I actually pray differently. I don't do my normal routine. The best thing that I do, I just go for a walk. I walk around the block. It may only be for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, but I just walk and I'm like, God, this is very good. In fact, the day that I'm least likely to pray for you, and I do pray for you, but on Wednesday, it's probably not going to happen, I'm afraid, because I'm just in kind of chill out mode with my Father. I'm connecting with him. That's when I want to do my journal. That's when I want to think and just be conscious. And some people, they'll light a candle on that Sabbath day. However you do it, you celebrate and you commune and you connect with God. That's a Sabbath. Wouldn't it be great if you could have that in your life? Wouldn't it be lovely if you could have a day where every 7 days you fill that cup back up and then you go into the work job, the rest of the job, and all the pings come flooding in and, oh, 300 likes. Yay for me. I must mean something. You go into that, but you go full, not depleted. You work from a place of rest. and you rest appropriately from your work. And you understand that work and rest, God wants to be involved in rest as much as he wants to be involved in work. It's a spiritual thing. And being able to connect with God and have him replenish you, fill you up, recenter you, reorientate you around the love of Jesus Christ makes all the difference. So this is our big idea. Sabbath stops us from living like slaves and lets us enjoy the very good things God has given us. We stop, rest, celebrate, and connect with the God of rest. Because Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Hey, I'm the holiday God. I love to be able to give you peace. I love to be able to just walk with you as you slow down and take some time. I can replenish you. I can recreate you. I can be so close, so intimate with you. Your life will never be the same again. And if you have 52 Sabbaths a year, that's 52 days of holiday before the holiday. It's an amazing way to live. It will change your life. So I'm going to commission you. I'm going to pray for you right now. But I want to pray and I want to just give you that inspiration to go and find a day. Now, it may take a little while. You may be in the same position that Kate and I were. You know, we had to wait a whole day before we got our Sabbath sort of fully settled. And you might say, well, I don't have someone else to share it with. Well, that's fine. It can just be you and God. You can do things individually. You can do things with friends. You can do things with others. Sunday could be your Sabbath day. That would be awesome because it's kind of really convenient because you do the God-connecting thing just by nature. It just happens anyway. Make Sunday the Sabbath if that's going to work for you. Otherwise, it might be a Saturday. But start where you can. Work at it. Be disciplined. Tell other people. Let them hold you to account and see how you get on. Let's pray. I'm going to pray that for all of us, we're able to practice this wonderful discipline of the Holy Sabbath day, where we rest from work and we work from rest. And I just want, while everyone's eyes are closed, if you particularly right now, you're just feeling just crushed, you feel like you've been trodden into the carpet, that you're just overwhelmed with stress, that your work is just eating away at your soul. You just feel like this is absolutely where you are right now. You kind of feel like a slave. If that's you, I want to pray that the God of rest, the God of Sabbath, will come and give you rest. So if that's you, just put your hand up where you are, and I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for these individuals that are feeling particularly burdened, particularly overwhelmed. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you would do what you have promised to do, which is to give them rest. I pray that they'd be able to find in a new way the rhythms of grace and rest and Sabbath in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for every single one of us. I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us, that you'd lead us, that you'd guide us. Lord, I know that there's a lot to take in, but I pray in Jesus' name that you would allow us to experience your Sabbath rest deep into our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.